For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So my guy, Christian Jones, aka The Truth 2024 on Instagram. So 15, are you 15 years old?
13.
So he's 13.
Welcome to teenage years.
He's 13 years old. He's a day trader. He's an investor. He's a speaker. He's an author. He does options. Just a dynamic dude. So Ian reached out to us a few days ago and was like, I think he'd be a great guest for Market Mondays. And we like, why not? So we want to highlight, first of all, we want to highlight you for a couple of different reasons. It's important to support and encourage our entrepreneurs and our investors. Like, you know, shout out to Mikey, who's the number one 15-year-old basketball player in the country. But to me, you're just as important as somebody like that, or LeBron James when
he was not more, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
sure.
You can impact thousands of kids. Mikey can help his family, but you can help the world and generations.
Yeah, yeah, so for sure. So we want to highlight you and celebrate you. There's no difference between you and LeBron James when he was 13, number one player in the country. I look at you like the number one prospect.
Yeah, this is your Sports Illustrated UIL.
So first and foremost, we want to just celebrate you, but then also, We want to get some game from you. I want to get some game from you too, because I know that you're a very astute trader and investor. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for joining our platform. We appreciate it.
I appreciate being here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I'll ask the first question, then everybody can just feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I got a few of them,
Troy. So you day trade options only, or stocks, or?
Yeah, I do mostly options. I do invest in stocks more so like for long term, like most people. I do mostly options.
All right, I'm glad because people have been asking for options, and we're gonna do an options show next week. We're working on something special. this will be a good intro for that. So can you? I was gonna explain it, but I'd rather you. Can you just explain for that? You know, most people aren't too familiar with options. Can you just explain like what options are as they pertain to like just investing in regular stocks?
Sure. So as far as the main, key differences between stocks and options are this. So as far as stocks, we know you actually own a share in the company. You actually own stock in the company. And like I said, you own share in it. And the thing is with stocks, you can hold them forever and you can pretty much pass them down. And the main difference between those and options is, options, you can't hold it and you don't actually own the stock. You merely own the option in order to buy the stock. And when we're owning options, we have these things called contracts. Now, one contract is equal to 100 shares of stock. And also with this options as well, it's temporary. Unlike stocks, options are temporary. Now, I know the max amount you can hold an option is, I think, about 2 years, because there are different types of trading. So you can hold options for a long time. You can do long-term trading with options. I've actually done that personally myself just recently today, where I did a long-term contract with Tesla, and I got
talk
it back.
About that. I saw you post that, man.
Yeah, me and my mom, we saw Tesla, and we got in about 300, and then we made $78,000 off that trade, because Tesla, it went crazy today, but like I don't know why it fell off, but luckily we was able to get out before it dipped down.
So don't let that go over your head.
Please, that was really modest, man. That's a yearly salary right there.
All right, so yeah. Hold on.
Real quick, one more time. How old are you?
13.
So I first met my guy when we was speaking with ET. Shout out to Marquel, because Marquel was solid enough to put me on the platform before anyone knew me, just like y'all, before, so y'all helped me pop. So I met him there, and I was like, yo, this kid knows his stuff. And I didn't know any of this when I was a kid, right? So run that number again past what you hit. I just want the people to hear.
$78,000.
So the reason why I wanted him on is to show, regardless of age, this is possible. We're the only culture that this has been hidden from. He's young, right? So if he can do it, you can do it too. But no, I'm gonna let you rock. I just wanted to jump in and let that, because like, it brings me so much joy, because you've been doing this since what, you was a, what, 8 and 9? You were speaking at what, 8 or 9?
Yeah. So a brief timeline is basically I actually ended up writing my first book called The Wind Within at 8 years old.
Yep.
It's based off my story where I was getting bullied by my teammates on the football field. It's about faith, family, and football. And then this is at the time we was living in Florida. So from there, we actually ended up leaving the country and going to Germany. And while we were in Germany, that's where I ended up, I want to say, developing, but finding about what investing is and finding about the stock, or finding out about the stock market. Because I don't know if you guys remember, there was a story about, I think, 2013, about a 14-year-old who had made $50,000 of buying Nike stock. So like anybody, I wanted to see how he did it. And I began asking my mom if she could teach me how to invest in the stock market, because I'm trying to make that kind of money. at the time, I was around 9 years old, so she didn't really take me seriously because she thought I was just playing around, just saying that because, well, people change their minds all the time.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing my own research and came back to her and told her I wanted to open up my brokerage account. And again, your brokerage account is the account you use in order to invest and trade. And when she heard that, then she saw that I was actually passionate and really wanted to learn this skill. And at the time, she did know a little bit about investing, but she really didn't get too deep into it herself. So she actually went out and got her course. And that course was $25,000, because she knows not only the value of investing in the stock market, but investing into yourself and investing in your growth. So she went out and got the course. And then initially we were taking it together, but 8, 9 years old, no idea what that meant. So she ended up learning from the course, and then she came back and taught me. So I guess the whole timeline would be I've been investing for 4 years and I've been trading for 3.
I love this, man.
So that's
beyond
this,
incredible.
And kudos to your mom too, because your mom is like with you running the business. So this, and I'm Rashad, I'm gonna let you rock. But parents are also like, you see the joy in his face from learning this, and like the joys in our face, like all of our kids should know this. So do it together. And if your kids have an interest, even in gaming, let them do that, because there are more avenues now than ever to make money from a whole bunch of industries that were not available to us. But Rashad, go ahead.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about this Tesla call that you had. So I'll just try to give my, I was going to say like 13-year-old explanation,
but nah.
I got to give my 4-year-old explanation for what options are. And correct me if I'm wrong. I just want everybody just to have an understanding. So like when you buy stock, let's say you want to buy Apple stock right now, it's like at 382. So we know if you have $382, you can buy one share, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you buy 2 shares, then it's 2 times 382. Everybody, I think, that pretty much understands that.
You own
Apple, you can have it for as long as you want. Whenever you sell it, if you sell it at, you know, $700, then, you know, you've doubled your money pretty much, right? Yep. So that's easy to understand. So with the options, it's pretty much like you're buying something in the future. So it's like, okay, I'm buying Apple. Yeah, exactly. I'm buying Apple for $500 in January of 2022, right? And then you have an ask and the bid price. So the strike price. The strike price is $500. That's
the price you want to get it at.
The future,
the exit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So and then the ask is like what you're actually buying those contracts for.
Right.
So the ask could be, let's say, you know, $50 hypothetically, right? So the ask is a lot lower than the actual price of the actual.
Well so it gets tricky, right? So there's calls and puts. We gotta.
Well, I'm gonna say calls.
Oh, yeah.
So the ask is like $50, right? So you're buying 100, because you got to buy 100 contracts.
Yeah.
100
Let's use
shares
five.
For,
Let's use
for one contract.
Let's use $5. That'll make it easier.
All right. So now you buy it at 50. So now, if let's say the price of Apple stock goes from 382 to 400, right? That's an $18 increase. Now, if you have the regular stock, then that would have been whatever percentage of $18 going up. But now if you own the options contract and it's $50, theoretically that $50 could go to $100. So now you actually doubled your money. Mm-hmm. This is why options are so appealing to people. And once you fully understand it, it's like, it's like stocks on steroids.
Yeah.
Because
it's tough to go back to stocks.
No, it's really difficult because yeah. it's like you could, but it's a lot more volatile. So it yeah. can go up a lot faster, but it can also go down a lot faster yeah. as well, because you're not, you don't really care about the price of the stock. You're more concerned about the bid and the ask price.
The ask price, yeah.
Did I do a good job explaining that, Christian?
You did a decent job.
okay. You explained it. I cut that. That's funny.
All right. So can you fill in what I left out?
Are you smarter than a seventh grader?
So as far as the strike price, you were well, kind of right at that. So the strike price you do, that's the price you're actually buying it at. So let's say I'm going to use your example. So let's say I'm buying Apple. They were at $3.82. So the thing is about options, you have an option chain. And when you're looking at the option chain, you have in the money and out the money. So let's say I'm going to go out the money. Normally when I go out the money, that's me so more so I'm going to do a swing trade. A swing trade is a more long-term trade and investment. Like I said, you can go up to a maximum of about 2 years. So let's say I'm doing a swing trade and Apple's current stock price is at $3.82. So I'm gonna put my strike price at, let's say, $400. So, and I'm doing a call. So I know Apple is gonna hit at least $400. Cause I will say this about strike prices as well. They don't necessarily have to hit your price in order for you to make money. They just have to go in a general direction for you to be able to make money. That's how you make money off swing trades. And that is one of the ways I actually made money, not only off that Tesla, but also, it did hit my strike price. But I did one on Microsoft. That's a better example. So I remember Microsoft was about at 135 at the time. That was their stock price. And I put my strike price, this was a swing trade, and I put it at 195, and I put it about 3 to 6 months out. So I put it 3 to 6 months out, and I put my strike price at 195. And even though Microsoft never actually hit that strike price of 195 till later after I sold the contract, it was still going in that direction. So therefore, I was making money.
The trend is your friend. So as long as it was going toward that 195, you're going to make some money.
Thank you for the further explanation. Yeah. So, all right. Can you talk about the Tesla trade that you made today? Can you kind of just walk us through that? What's your Instagram? Because a lot of people on YouTube, can you just type his Instagram in? I think it's The Truth at 2024, right?
Yeah, The Truth 2024.
And Mark said he likes you. We'll let you know who Mark is, but yeah, Mark is a fan of you. Yeah. Can you walk us through your Tesla trade that you made today?
Sure. So that Tesla trade was actually also another swing trade that I did back in March when Tesla was at that $300 mark.
Oh my God.
And I remember I was telling my clients about it, and I didn't necessarily tell them, but I was telling them what I was going to do, and they might as well copy. So I got in at about $300, and I remember after that I decided to just sell it after Tesla started move up in that upward direction, but we decided not to, so kind of just left it alone. And little do we know, a couple months later it hit almost $100,000, because Tesla, as you know, has one of those. Well, Tesla is like a wild card to me. Like, yeah. It's one of those companies, market be up one day, Tesla's going down $100. Market be down another day, Tesla's moving up $200, fall back, move up another $100. Like, Tesla is a wild card. And knowing this, but that Tesla is a wild card, but it is a very consistent company. So knowing this, we decided to do a swing trade on this. And like I said, a couple months later, here we are with $78,000. So that's kind of the whole process on how that worked.
How much money did you put in originally?
$2,000.
We got a question. I'm important. How do you choose your strike price and your ask that you're looking to get in? I saw that comment in YouTube.
They asked, how do I choose my strike price and my ask, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So as far as how I choose my strike price, that really depends. I'm trading for that day, because you have four different trading styles. You have, and I use, pretty much all four. So you have the first trading style, which is called scalping. So scalping is more so, like a surgeon, pinpoint movements and short little movements. And those are like in and out. You got to be really quick. And you do have to have patience as well with scalping. So scalping is more, like I said, pinpoint movements. So it depends if I'm doing scalping, I might go in the money. However, you also have day trading, which is similar but not the same as scalping. Day trading, you can instead of those pinpoint movements where you're making like $400 in 2 minutes, day trading, you might make $5,000 in about not even 10, 20, but like maybe an hour or two. So day trading, while you might take a little longer, you don't necessarily hold any positions at the end of the day. And then you have position and swing trading. So swing trading is what I did with the Tesla and the Microsoft. And one of my favorite strategies to use, because it's basically passive income. And it is something I do teach in my course, because like I said, it's passive income. I remember my mom, she said swing trading is actually her favorite strategy as well, because it allows you to not only free up your time, but also to, you know, well, make passive income and make money on a consistent basis without having to really put in much work, which is the beauty of the stock market. And then you have position trading, which goes back to the, well, maximum amount of 2 years, where you can pretty much do it like a stock and just hold it for a long amount of time and just allow it to, well, continuously making money. But you have to be careful on what companies you choose, because you will have those companies that might dip during a certain point because of whatever reason. So you do have to pay attention to the news, and you do have to watch your positions as well. Like I said, you gotta pay attention. Like, this is not something you can just, ooh, I made one trade and just leave it for forever.
Can you walk us through your risk to reward ratio? So are you risking 10% to make 100%, or what ratio are you using when you're setting up your swing trades?
So when I'm setting up my swing trades, I typically won't like, I don't like to lose more than about 25%. However, I will lose, I will be willing to risk 25% if I can make at least 50%.
Okay. 2 to 1.
Okay. Christian, I got a quick question. So are you making puts as well? Or what's your strategy on that?
Yeah, I use puts as well. I don't use them as much, but I do use them. And I would say an example of puts would be, what was it, the company? Six Flags. Y'all know that's it. Yeah, the amusement park. So they're actually publicly traded. So I remember one thing I did was Six Flags. I remember the first year I want to say discovered them. I saw them. This was also during the summer. And Six Flags at the time, this was about 2 years ago, Six Flags was going up because I believe they came out with a new Batman ride or something. And everybody, well, was going to Six Flags. So they jumped about $20. So I made money off of calls. And then, of course, since Six Flags is a seasonal company, they began slowly dropping as the months went on, August, September, October. So knowing this, and knowing this from the first year, because I didn't figure out that pattern before, but knowing this next year in 2019, I did see this pattern and saw that Six Flags was gonna have that great summer again, and then they were gonna slowly drip down. So I decided to do a swing trade put on it and make some money that way.
YouTube, if you could take a minute and like this video, it's 2,300 people. I think that's a record for us.
Yeah, I think so.
But if you don't
appreciate that.
If you don't like this video, it says a lot about your character.
Yeah. Repost this one.
Yeah, you like, come on. You gotta like it. That's the least you can do is like it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. All right. So puts, for anybody, that's when you're saying that the stock is gonna go down. Where calls are saying that the stock is going to go up. So is your put strategy more short-term, like long-term? Like, do you have a long-term call strategy and a short-term put strategy, or how do you play your puts versus your calls? And do you ever put a call and a put on the same position? Because some people do that to hedge. Like, they'll put a call on Apple, but then they'll take 25% and put a put on it also. So if they'll make money either way, the market decides to go.
So as far as how I do my calls and puts, I more so do my, I do kind of both ways. Like, as far as long-term, I might do calls occasionally, but for the most part, I use, well, puts for the long-term. Well, not even long-term, but more so mid-term on those companies that I know suck and are trash, and I'm getting at a good entry point. And then I use calls more so consistently and more so, yeah, for short-term, especially with scalping and day trading.
Christian, really quick. So are you making options on individual stocks, or do you do ETFs as well?
No, I do individual stocks.
Okay.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.